Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, shalom, giddy up. How you doing today, boys and girls? Okay, I happened to be flipping the channels last night, and then I got to the Bill Maher show, and I really flipped. I flipped out. So I had to do a blog to defend my sacred religion, Americanism. Bill, a PLO dancer, Maher, this is the topic subject. Bill PLO Dancer Maher, the reservoir tip of the communist spear. Long after Bill PLO Dancer Maher is dust in the wind, billions of good people will be bending their knee to the name of the great JC. Bill, the reservoir tip of the communist spear, broke his shovel with normal people when he mocked the victims of 9/11, saying something to the effect that the 343 firemen who died were not as brave as the deeply religious Muslims who drove two Saudi hijacked planes into the WTC, or as I call them, the Clinton Towers. Benghazi was not the first rooftop to be abandoned by the Clintons. The FBI has confirmed that President Pinocchio Pants kicked the can of death down the road in 1993. I turned on this communist occupation training session twice, once to see Daryl Issa, the Congress mouse that can't get anyone to testify. Subpoenas don't work. Every demo commo pleads the fifth or doesn't show. You will hear Issa say, come on, please, pretty please. He's all wind and no rain, and we'll see what he does when a Lois Lerner, Superman's girlfriend, comes again to testify. It's going to be interesting. So, the next time I caught Mr. Puss live, he turned to a Jewish Republican and called his Bible a comic book. And Bill Kristol reluctantly took the bait. Ma then said, do you believe God created the earth in 7 days? Bang! Crystal fell through the gallows floor. He responded, 7 days is a biblical term and not a 24-hour day. Let's go back to the communists and their Big Bang theory of lies, like global warming. Yeah, I believe in the Big Bang theory. Every Sunday I go to a small church bigger than Mars, a freak suicide net pothead audience. I worship the Big Banger. If he wanted to create the world in 7 minutes, he can do it. He is God. Want proof? A super telescope this week discovered 500 new planets. 4 are habitable. Why now? Why now has God chosen to reveal them? So we can make plans to evacuate Earth during the upcoming World War III. I'll be on the spaceship with Gravity Girl after she kills George Clownhead. And Gravity Girl is up for an Academy Award tonight at the Communist Academy Awards. We have our own Academy Awards. We have the American Academy Awards, and Mel Gibson wins everything. Yeah. Best Friend of America, that's an award. Do you know that they don't have an award for stuntmen at the Academy Awards? You know why? They look down on them because they're so brave. Yeah, they make all the sissies look bad. Yeah, they should get an award just for stuntmen and have to work with communist crap. And the award goes today to Billy Three Explosions Jones, who sat in for a couple of communist rats. Yeah, Matt Damon. He does all of Matt Damon stunts. He even goes to the bathroom for him. Yeah. Yeah, so where are we here? Ma then went into the wasted spending on defense mechanisms like 3,000 tanks. If it wasn't for those 3,000 tanks, Ma would be hung from an Iranian tow truck tonight. Yeah. And those 3,000 tanks, and then he says, that could have fed the poor. Well, I know a Christian tribe in Nigeria who could have bought Spam and flak jackets with the $1 million Ma gave to a starving Obama bin Laden, the same commander-in-chief who took a carrier group out of action to go on safari. I didn't hear Ma complaining about that as he spit in the holy water font. The good news is that I have been authorized by His Holiness Joe McCarthy to perform a Catholic exorcism on Bill Maher using lots of holy water, and I only have to hold his head under for 5 minutes, and then the devil will be gone. Seriously, God knows how to deal with communists. Bill Maher will be on the road to Damascus, where he'll be knocked off his ass or on it, and a heavenly voice from the Old Testament will shout, Schmuck! Bill will wake up in a Catholic hospital with a big cross over his bed. A smiling nun will wipe his fevered brow and hook his IV up to a tropical fish tank. He will die a painful, drug-free death of guppy poisoning. He will receive a burial at sea along with the guppy, using the latest state-of-the-art two-flush water saver. Can I get an amen? God is good all the time. And I'm Bill's only friend that's left in America. Abu Tam, the American fundamentalist. And we're now endorsing General McChrystal for president. Let me skedaddle. We'll come up to our studio and we'll pick another tune. Let me see what we got. Come on, man. Give me something good. Ooh, yeah, this is a good one. Now that we've discovered 4 habitable planets.
No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one. See what happens. give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia, don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. We'll build an all-American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, baby, be a pair of shoes for me. They all hate us anyhow, so let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
And this is Irish Heritage Month.
And the year of our Lord 1806, we set sail from the Colquay of Cork.
Up, Cork!
We were sailing away with the cargo bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York. With an elegant craft, she was rigged fore and aft, and how the trade winds drove her. She had 23 masts, and she stood several flats, and they called her the Irish.
From the banks of the Lee,
there was Hogan from County Tyrone.
There was Johnny McGurk, who was getting for the work,
and a chap from Westmead named Malone. The ex-lover of Tull, who was drunk as a rule, and fired in the Tracy from Dover. And young man Mick McCann from the banks of the Fan was the skipper of the Irish Rover. We had 1 million bags of the best Sligo rag, we had 2 million barrels of bone, we had 3 million bales of all nanny goat's tails, we had 4 million barrels of stone, we had 5 million hogs and 6 million dogs, 7 million barrels of porter, we had 8 million sides of all blind horses hide in the hold of the Irish.
Here's a poll that says that Mark Udall may lose. Anybody named Udall that serves in Congress always votes to burn the flag. I don't know what it is. It must be a family thing. But they do. They vote to burn the flag. And speaking of flag burners, I came across something. Oh, let me see what this is. It's a medical report. Doc, I'm not feeling that well. I have no strength. I feel weak. My knees buckle. I feel depressed. Doc asks, what do you think brought it on? The patient, Obama's care of the people. Eric Holder running guns to the Sinaloa cartel. The cowardice in the face of the enemy in Benghazi. The loss of SEAL Team 6 in Afghanistan. The loss of Iraq to Iran. The loss of Middle East confidence in the USA as they turned to China. The loss of confidence in Israel for the USA. Did I say the loss of African confidence in the USA as they turn to China? The loss of Japanese confidence in the promises of the USA to be their nuclear umbrella. And that result is obvious as Japan starts to build 2,000 nuclear weapons and recalls her plutonium from the unsafe, unreliable USA. What do you think, Doc? Doc says you are suffering from loss of country syndrome. Do you think the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party? Yes. Do you think the Rhino Party is now the Democrat Party? Yes. Do you trust the Supreme Court to protect the Constitution? No. Do you think the military cutback will protect the USSA? No. Do you think Joe McCarthy was right? I do now. Yes, you definitely suffer from loss of country syndrome. Have they closed your church yet? No. Head right over there and get a few prayers in before the ambulance comes to take you to the re-education asylum. Let's see what else. Oh, here's a letter of congratulations. Your daughter just got married and she didn't tell you. Want a little few gun stats? Gun control, the historical record. In 1929, the Soviet Union, the bullies of Europe established gun control. From 1929 to 1953, 20 million dissidents, not counting the Ukraine, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. In 1911, Turkey established a gun control. From 1915 to 1917, 1.5 million Armenians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. And if you want to get a look at what's going to happen in the Ukraine and how tough that area is, the year is 1854. It's war in the Crimea. It's the British, the French, the Turks against the Russians. And it is scary. Germany established gun control in 1938. From 1939 to 1945, a total of 13 million Jews and others who were unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. China established gun control in 1935. From 48 to 52, 20 million political dissidents unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. Guatemala established, Jimmy from Brooklyn tells me there's 7 countries that are now negotiating with the Russians for military bases. And I can't remember them all, but Nicaragua was one. Venezuela was one. Singapore was one. Seychelles was one. That's 4. I forget the other 3. Okay, Guatemala established gun control in 64. From 64 to 81, 100,000 Mayan Indians unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. Now, you know, out of 100,000 Mayan Indians, there has to be women and children in that milieu. Uganda established gun control in 1970. And so from 71 to 79, 300,000 Christians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Cambodia established the gun control. That was one of those domino theory countries that the communists told you there was no such thing as the domino theory. Cambodia established the gun control in 1956. From 1975 to 1977, 1 million educated people, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. 1990s, Rwanda established gun control. In a span of 100 days in April 1994, 800,000 people who were unable to defend themselves were massacred to death, most by machetes. How many dead, hacked-up bodies do you think were found holding a loaded gun? Zero. Defenseless people rounded up and exterminated in the 20th century because of gun control. 56 million. Is that something or what? Is that scary? Does that scare you? Let's go back for a tune. Tune. Tune coming up. Oh, here's another Irish Rebel tune.
Warning, this MP3 download is illegal.
Oh, I guess that wasn't my shamrock growing tune. Let's see. Oh, I wonder how this one would go.
Warning, this MP3 down.
I'm being hacked. I'm being hacked by communists. Let's see what else we got. Would you like to hear the Iranian national anthem? We played the verdict last night. Let's see how this sounds. We're back. We'll skip the rumberos. Okay. I got something I saw today. You ever wonder who's approving all the immigration in this country? You think that not only are they coming over the border illegally, but they're being brought in illegally by our own immigration department. Ann Coulter wrote a column this week, and she calls for the severe restriction of legal immigration into the USA. And currently we have no standards. Oh, here's something I wanted to mention to you. I don't know if you ever heard me talk about this, but I have a friend that went to the swearing-in ceremony of new American citizens in New York, and he was totally shocked. Most of the citizens were of color, and when they had the little American flags, and when the American official who welcomed them as citizens got up to speak, he was totally anti-American, and what he told these new Americans was, the white man hates your guts. And be prepared for all kinds of adversity because of your skin color. And then he gave his phone number, and he said, if you're discriminated against, you call me. So these people all got sworn in, and they walked out into the street already with a chip on their shoulder, expecting to be harassed. Now, that was in New York City. And somebody mentioned it the other day in another part of the country. So I think it bears looking into, because it might be part of the communist immigration facilities and brainwashing bureau. And they're setting all these people up to come into the United States hating the United States. And that's not what we're all about. We want to be loved. So, Coulter points out, we currently have no standards for restricting the types of people we allow in. Obama has, through executive orders, and as of tonight, he's creating a Muslim caucus. You know, do you have a Catholic caucus in the White House? Do you have a Methodist caucus in the White House? Even started allowing low-level terrorists into the United States. Oh, that's a new category, low-level terrorists. They can come in. Coulter points out that Australia's immigration policies require that an immigrant must meet several standards before being allowed into that country. They must speak English, be educated, be young enough to contribute to the workforce, and they must have job skills. This used to be our policy here. But today, America is one of the only countries in the world that doesn't employ some standards for entries such as this. We currently import more than 1 million immigrants a year, and only 13% of them are allowed in because of their job skills. That's another thing I see coming. They're going to tell you how dumb the American people are, and we need more talent to bring in from overseas, from Rwanda. The other 87% are pushed right into the welfare state. We have to educate, feed, and house them, and take care of their medical expenses. Did you ever ask your dad for an allowance? He told you he couldn't afford it. What did you do? You did without, right? Mm-hmm. Look at these stats and tell me if they make sense. From 1986 to 2012, we allowed the following numbers of immigrants into the United States from various countries. This is from 86 to 2012. Iran, 358,000. Pakistan, 347,000. Nigeria, 220,000. Bangladesh, 215,000. Ethiopia, 202,000. Australia, 12,926. How does that grab you? Granted, people are likely to move here from Australia, but the numbers should not be this lopsided. Oh, we've been scheduled for disillusion. Two disillusions, one to dissolve and the other one disillusion. You'll be disillusioned. You can't believe what happened to your country. I say you lost it and you're never getting it back. Let's see what else it says here. The vast majority of immigrants are left-leaning socialists, which is undisputed. We examined where the immigrants and refugees are being placed by the federal government dating back to 1990. This plot to extinguish conservatism from America through immigration is much worse, though. And here's what they say. They show North Carolina, which is a red state, I regret very much, and I think it was done deliberately, to assign the Republicans as red and the Democrats as blue. We should have been blue, and the communists should always be red. So the red state, which they're saying is a conservative state, North Carolina, foreign-born increase 273%. another red state, Georgia, foreign-born increase, 233%, Arkansas, 196%, Utah, 170%, Tennessee, 169%. So they're gerrymandering. The communists are gerrymandering the country. Nebraska, 164%, Arizona, 135%, Kentucky, 135%, South Carolina, 132%, and Idaho, 121%. Now, the blue states, a foreign-born increase. Pennsylvania, only 37%. California, 37%. New York, 35%. Massachusetts, 34%. Can you see the difference? The red states are over 100%, and the highest one in the blue states is 37%. Hawaii, 30%. Rhode Island, 25%. Maine, 1.1%. These percentage increases have taken place since 1990. A few states fall outside this pattern, but what this data shows is that the influx of illegal immigrants, future Democrat voters, is being concentrated in the most heavily, the influx of legal immigrants is being concentrated in the most heavily conservative states. The one worlders who design this policy of self-destruction know that nature will take its course and you will soon be a voting minority, even if you live in a currently conservative state. That is exactly what happened to California, the home of President Reagan. It is sad. We need a general for president, my friends. We need somebody with combat experience, my friends. We've got to get stronger. Here's another little article. Let me give you a tune. We'll come back. We'll give you the Varsity Drag. Okay, we're back. I hate to break music up, but we have more fish to fry. You familiar with partial birth abortion? Do you know what partial birth abortion is? You can kill a kid as long as you can see his head outside the womb. You could stab him in the head and you could destroy him. That's called partial birth abortion. The argument is the whole body is not out yet. We can cut his head off. And that's how it's done. That's why it's called partial birth abortion. 40 days before 911, 48 senators have voted to burn the flag of the United States. That was, and then on 10-20-03, 34 senators voted to stab a full-term child in the head, exiting the Freedom Canal. I say every one of those at 34 voted to burn the flag. Let's check. I was off by 5. 29 are baby killers and flag burners. These are the hardcore party over country termites. So, here they are. Senator Akaka from Hawaii is a flag burner. Max Baucus from Montana is a baby killer. Bingham from New Mexico, a baby killer and a flag burner. Barbara Boxer from California, a baby killer and a flag burner. Maria Cantwell from Washington, a baby killer and a flag burner. Lincoln Chafee, now the governor of Rhode Island, a baby killer and a flag burner. Hillary Clinton, the bitch of Benghazi. Hillary Clinton, a baby killer and a flag burner. So, what do you do when you have a woman that has one child? Shouldn't you name that child Lucky? Collins from the state of Maine is a baby killer. Corzine from New Jersey, he's a flag burner and a baby killer. Dayton from Minnesota is a baby killer. Christopher Dodd from Connecticut. Connecticut sends crap. Massachusetts sends crap. New York sends crap. Christopher Dodd from Connecticut, flag burner and a baby killer. Dick Durbin, flag burner, baby killer, and Marine backstabber. He's from Illinois. Russell Feingold from Wisconsin. Remember McCain Feingold? They were buddies. Yes. Feingold, a flag burner and a baby killer. Diane Feinstein, she's only a baby killer. She doesn't vote to burn the flag. Senator Graham from Florida, he's a flag burner and a baby killer. And he was the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, who had no intelligence on 911. Harkin from Iowa. Harkin, the Herald Angels ain't singing about you, buddy. He's a flag burner and a baby killer. Daniel Inouye from Hawaii. Both Inouye and Akaka are veterans, and they voted to burn the flag. How's that? And they're both baby killers. Jeffords from Vermont. What a nice guy. He's up there smoking a pipe, killing babies and burning flags. Kennedy from Massachusetts. Oh. He's a flag burner and a baby killer. Yes. There's a joke about Kennedy Catholics, you know. John Kerry, the king of ketchup, the great negotiator. He's a flag burner and a baby killer. And he's a veteran, and he's decorated. He decorates himself. Cole from Wisconsin. How cold can you get? Flag burner and a baby killer. Lautenberg voted to kill kids. Well, you know where he is now. He's down there with Kennedy in boiler number 3. And they're singing, shovel more coal in the boiler. Yeah, he replaced the Torricelli, who was a bigger crook and a flag burner. Levin, Carlos the Jekyll Levin, he's retiring. Yes. May he retire permanently from Michigan. Communist from Michigan. Flag burner and a baby killer. And this one, this guy got under the wire. Everybody thinks he's Mr. Nice. And he's Orthodox Jewish. This is really good, man. He's a man of the Bible. He's a man of the Ten Commandments. His name is Joe Lieberman. I call him Joe Liberwurst. He's a flag burner and a baby killer. And he's an independent now. Yeah. Barbara Mikulski. Yeah, Flag Burner and a Baby Killer from Maryland. Patty Murray from Washington. Flag Burner and a Baby Killer. Here's Bill Nelson, the astronaut. You know, they wouldn't let him go to the moon because they were afraid he would burn the flag, even though there's no oxygen up there. He'd find a way to burn the flag. He's a Democrat from Florida. He's a flag burner and a baby killer, and he blocked the door to bring food to Terri Schiavo. So they starved her to death to support the pro-choice movement. But Terry never had a choice. Reed from Rhode Island. He's a flag burner and a baby killer. Rockefeller from West Virginia. Looks so nice and official up there on the photo. Flag burner and a baby killer. I think his name is Paul Sarbanes. He's from Maryland. He's a flag burner and a baby killer. And then comes along the head of the Gestapo for the Party of Death, Chuck Heinrich Schumer. He is a flag burner and a baby killer. He calls flag burning free speech. He calls killing babies settled law. And that includes the ones who get to see the light of day for a few seconds. And here's Olympia Snowjob. She's a baby killer. And Debbie stab him now. She stabs him any way she can. In the head, in the back, on the battlefield. And Ron Wyden, Democrat from Oregon, flag burner and a baby killer. And two didn't vote. Edwards, remember John Edwards, dragged his dying of cancer wife around for votes. Here, look, I love her. Vote for me, I'm taking care of her. And others. Yeah. And Hutchison from Texas, she voted. She didn't vote, she abstained. She wouldn't go either way. That is sad, isn't it? Okay. So having said that, I'll give you a tune until then. There was senators who voted to give American gun control over to the UN. That's why I say that the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party. So here we go. This is the names of the Democamos who voted to give gun control over to the UN. Baldwin from Wisconsin. He also voted to burn the flag. Blumenthal from Connecticut. He lied about combat in Vietnam, and they promoted him. Boxer from California, flag burner. Maria Cantwell from Washington State voted to burn the flag. Carden from Maryland voted to burn the flag. Carper from Delaware. These people all voted to take your gun rights away. So, Durbin from Illinois. Feinstein from California. Hawken from, all these ones I'm reading you now are flag burners from Iowa. Landrieu from Louisiana. Leahy from Vermont. Levin from Michigan. Mikulski from Maryland. These are all flag burners who voted to take your guns away. Murray from Washington. They're all in the Communist Party. Here's Bayonet the Babies Nelson again from Florida. Reed from Rhode Island. Rockefeller from West Virginia. Sanders from Vermont. Chuck Schumer from the Communist State of New York. Debbie Stabenow now from Michigan. Both Udalls, Democrats from Colorado, Democrat from New Mexico, they voted to burn the flag. And Ron Wyden also voted to burn the flag. And 80% of flag burners vote to kill kids. Now, here's ones who didn't vote to burn the flags but voted to take your guns away. Max Baucus from Montana, Bennett from Colorado, Brown from Ohio, Casey from Pennsylvania, Coons from Delaware, Cowan from Massachusetts, Franken from Minnesota, Kirsten Killer Kid from New York, Hirono from Hawaii, Johnson from South Dakota, Kane from Virginia, King from Maine, Klobuchar from Minnesota, McGaskill from Missouri. This guy is dirty. This guy has the mark of the pentagram on his forehead. His name is Bob Menendez, and he's from New Jersey, and he's a Dominican Republic sugar daddy. Yeah, and I wonder about the ages of the girls he entertained when he was down in the Dominican Republic, and I wonder if they're all still alive. Sorry, it's just a gut feeling. Merkley from Oregon, Murphy from Connecticut. You suck, Murphy. May you be banned from the St. Paddy's Day parade. Reed from Nevada, from Hawaii. Shaheen from New Hampshire. Poor New Hampshire, they're falling. They're getting that Vermont maple syrup AIDS. Warner from Virginia. Warner from Virginia. There was another Warner from Virginia. I wonder if they're, I wonder if they're related. Warren, I hope it's not father to son. They're spreading germs. Warren from Massachusetts, White House from Rhode Island. I don't know what's wrong with Rhode Island, man, but it seems like the states that originally founded freedom, they have betrayed it, especially Massachusetts. I'm so ashamed of Massachusetts. The home where the shot heard round the world was fired for freedom. And today they're selling out everybody, selling out the children, selling out the Second Amendment, selling out the First Amendment. They are bad people. You know what? It's time to play the Democrat fight song.
Tiptoe, from the garden, all the way out, she and tiptoe.
Okay, we're back. I don't know if I told you this earlier in the show, but I followed the hearings today under Chavits for the loss of SEAL Team 6. And all I saw were uninfluential congressmen who nobody knows or recognizes attending. And they all use the first 4 minutes of their 5 minutes to grandstand. And, of course, the Democrats were protecting the crown. And it was very sad. I felt sorry for the parents who came today to learn something because all they got was a lot of gobbledygook. It was really sad. I've got a tribute to the 22 SEALs who died. I'm going to open it up. I'll probably have to cut it short, but let's see what it looks like. I did it back when they fell prey to bad judgment calls on the parts of their commanders.
Okay. Yesterday, I was at my daughter's house, and I couldn't find Fox TV, so I was stuck on MSNBC, and I happened to listen to Chris Matthews' Rafsanjani. I have to tell you, I don't watch MSNBC, and I'll tell you why. During the Iraq War, they took a great pleasure in the casualty count as it rose, and they never supported the troops. And they even tried to convict one Latino soldier for shooting, who was at the Battle of Fallujah and lost a few buddies, and he shot an Al-Qaeda that was twitching, and they accused him of taking pleasure in it. And they even brought on a Congressional Medal of Honor a colonel named Jacobson to try and execute this guy in the media. And I thought it was, when I saw that, I gave them the name Marine Killing NBC. So I don't watch it, but I was over at my daughter's house and I turned it on, and there's Chris Matthews Rafsanjani. And he is singing the praises of Osama bin Laden. He is telling his audience how great Obama is. He got Osama bin Laden, he got al-Awlaki, and he got Muammar Gaddafi. And no, Bush never did it, nobody else ever did it, only Obama did it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to bring you back to the beginning of the Iraq War and the people that were in charge. And one of the people that were in charge was the Secretary of Defense, and his name was Donald Rumsfeld. And Donald Rumsfeld pursued that war and prosecuted that war for 7 innings. And anybody in baseball will tell you, if the pitcher is relieved in the 7th inning and his team wins the ball game, he gets credit for the win. So the win goes to Donald Rumsfeld, who was a most able and capable servant of the people of the United States. And even when Bush threw him under the bus at Christmas time, after saying, Donald will be with me as long as we are in office, even though Bush double-crossed him, Donald Rumsfeld never once peeped any concern or exclamation that he had been shafted. So Donald Rumsfeld gets credit for the Iraq War. Now, I will give Osama bin Laden credit for getting Osama bin Laden, because I got to tell you, I feel that Bush knew where he was. And Bush did not want to go up against the Pakistani government. And I did notice that when Obama came in, he said that if he's in Pakistan, he's going to get him. So I'm going to give Obama credit for that. And I'm going to give Obama credit for getting al-Awlaki. I'm going to give credit for getting a Gaddafi, but you know what? Gaddafi could have been gotten real easy. You see those kids in the streets. Those were all kids. They never knew how to fire a weapon. Those kids were kept under wraps. They got a moment of glory now before the Islamic Brotherhood takes over and relieves them of their weapons. So the success of taking out the Muammar Gaddafi, I think it could have been done with a 10 bomb. Reagan kept him quiet for 20 years. But he's gone. Good riddance to him. But now let's take a look at the two culprits that remain that are being protected by Obama. The two culprits that remain that are being protected by Obama. And I'm going to tell you, Bush never did anything. He had 8 years to rouse up the Iranian people and cause an overthrow of that government of Iran, because the Iranian youth doesn't want this government. And that's who takes over. That's who starts a revolution, is the youth. And you see it in Libya. They think it's a social event, the kids in Libya. They don't know what's coming tomorrow. They're enjoying today. But the kids in Iran, when I say kids, I'm talking young people, in Iran, they're taking bullets. Women are taking bullets in the chest to demonstrate against the mullahs. And that country's being ruled by a crazy person who wouldn't qualify to be a tailor on Broadway, uptown. The only thing he could do would be allowed to sew French cuffs on pants and do a peg 14. Yeah, but he is the mouthpiece for kill all the Jews, and don't think he's not going to do it. And you know who knows that better than you or me? The boys in Israel. They know that this man will kill them. And I got to tell you something else. When Bush was in power, Iran was totally surrounded by U.S. forces. You get out a map, go to the CIA map of Iran, and you'll see we were in every country that bordered Iran. We could have been in Tehran at Ahmadinejad's house in 20 minutes. And that's another lesson. 8 year wars are not for the American people. The American people can't take anything over 4 years. So if you're going to win a war, you got to win it in about a month. Strike hard, strike heavy, wipe them out, and get out. And then let the diplomats talk. And if talking fails, strike hard, strike heavy, wipe them out, and get out. But anyway, so there's Iran, and Bush had an opportunity just to beam propaganda into the Iranian population, and he could have facilitated the overthrow. They put up one radio station that started with an S, I forget what it's called, and it was very weak, and I think it was even infiltrated by the Baji, which is the police that round up the kids and throw them in the trunks of police cars and then take them to the police station and rape them. Yeah, that's Iran, man. But the worst one is Syria, and I'll tell you why. Because as soon as Nancy Pelosi became Sneaker of the House, she demanded that the Air Force give her a big jet. She demanded that she have enough a jet that was long range, so she could take 40 communists from the House and the Senate and fly to Damascus and lick the ankles of Bashar al-Assad. Bashar al-Assad is a murderer. He is responsible for the death of the Prime Minister of Lebanon, Rafiq Hariri. He is responsible for the murder and death of Christians and Jews in his own country. His country harbored Nazi war criminals after World War II and the Third Reich fell. This man is an evil man, and when he shoots people in the street and rushes them to the hospital, he usually finishes them off in the hospital. This man is an evil man, and he is responsible for the murder of 4,500 Americans who have died in the Iraq War. He is responsible for the maiming of 40,000 Americans who have lost limbs in the Iraq war. He is the number one IED distributor in the Middle East. And his IEDs, with new improved Iranian copper lugs, have been shredding the bodies of Americans and Iraqis since we got there. He should have been taken out first, but he won't, because DNC headquarters is now in Damascus, and the sneaker of the house went to lick his ankles after she sent Bill Nelson a month earlier to prepare her way. And that's what he did. And if you don't believe me, Google Nancy Pelosi goes to Syria. And Google Senator Nelson goes to Syria. And Google Jimmy Carter goes to Syria. And you'll notice they're all sitting in the same room at different times, and it's right in front of the same ottoman. And the only difference is, in one of them, I think Nelson sits to the left of Bashar al-Assad, and the other two sit to the right of Bashar al-Assad. And their biggest complaint when they were in Syria was that the windows to the palace were open, and the screams of the Americans was breaking their train of thought. They should all be tried for treason and shot, or sent to Libya. So having said that, now I'm going to go back to what Chris Matthews said, and I'm going to break your heart. So Chris Matthews and the Party of Death gave credit to Osama bin Laden, the illegal alien from another planet, for taking out Osama bin Laden, taking out al-Awlaki, and taking out Muammar Gaddafi. Of course, he didn't talk too much about sending 100 body bags and 100 troops to Africa. But let me tell you something about, and this pullout is going to be very dangerous. And there are no al-Qaeda in Iraq right now. They're all heading to Afghanistan because they want to get their last rounds into the Americans before the Americans pull out. They're going to turn Afghanistan into a Russian rout. That's what their goal is. And every al-Qaeda, every Hezbollah, every Hamas that can leave, every Muslim terrorist will be there for the big kill. Okay, so I'm going to tell you something that they didn't mention that is more important than all of those kudos that were paid to Osama bin Laden. I'm going to take you back to August the 6th, 2011, and there was a helicopter shootdown in which a whole contingent of Navy SEALs was killed in one shot. And Obama's not taking credit for that. And Chris Matthews didn't mention it in his accolades to Obama, his ode to Obama. So I'm going to mention it to you right now. I'm going to take the lieutenant commander. And remember they told us that these Navy SEALs, their names should not be revealed. Well, you can get them off of the internet. Jonas B. Kessel, Lieutenant Commander. Nicholas Null, Explosive Ordnance Disposal Technician. Andrew Harvell, Staff Sergeant. Carter David, Chief Warrant Officer. Specialist Alexander Bennett. Airman Daniel Zerbe. Specialist Spencer Duncan. Sergeant Patrick Hamburger. Explosive Ordnance Disposal Tech, Craig Vickers. Information Systems Tech, Jared Day. Special Warfare Operator, that's a SEAL, Jesse Pittman. Heath Robinson. Derek Benson. Master at Arms, Petty Officer, Johnny Duangdara. Special Warfare Operator Christopher Campbell. Special Warfare Operator Louis Langlais. Special Warfare Operator Matthew Mason. Chief Warrant Officer Brian Nichols. Special Warfare Operator Petty Officer Second Class Nicholas Spehar. John Tummelson. Jason Workman, Brian Bill, John Foss, Robert James Reeves, Thomas A. Ratzlaff, Kevin A. Houston, Stephanie Matthew, Stephen Matthew Mills, Medic John Brown, Cryptologist Michael Strange, Aaron Carson Vaughn, Sergeant Daniel Patron, and except for Sergeant Patron, they were all in the helicopter crash, Chinook CH-47. Now, I'm reading from a list of 50 names. I got 3 pages to read from August the 6th, 2011. That's 150 Americans have died in the Afghan war. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Bush was there for 8 years. Bush successfully occupied Afghanistan and was there for 8 years. He lost 461 men. Since August the 6th, Obama has lost 150 men. Actually, the count in Afghanistan is 1,746 at this time. So he's lost 4 times the number of people that Bush has lost in 8 years. And he's lost it in 3 years. I just want to pay my tribute to the rest of these guys. Adnan Gonzalez, Joshua Robinson, Kisan Thapa. Now, there's 3 French guys in this list. Gerthus Janssen, he's one, and so was Kisan Thapa. One was a corporal and one was a legionnaire. Then we go back to the Americans. Alessandro Sandrino Plutino, Nicholas Ott, Patrick Lay, Ruben Lopez, Jamil Freeman, Jordan Morris, Edward Frank II, Long Gallinger, Charles Price III, Daniel Clark, and here's another Frenchman, Ali Husseini Farou. He was a corporal and a chef. And these guys were all killed by IEDs. Joe Cunningham, a second lieutenant, non-hostile. Second lieutenant, I got him already. Sergeant Harmon, IED attack. All these guys are killed by IED attacks. Specialist Joseph Van Drummel, that's an IED attack. So that's 50 out of 150. But the saddest ones are the Navy SEALs. And I did a show earlier about them and all their buddies who had comments. And the gist of the comments were, it was an ambush, it was a setup, the Pakis are responsible, the CH-47s are obsolete and should not be used, and never do you put 25 men in one chopper going into a shooting zone. And that was the gist of, and what a waste of SEAL talent. So now I'll play a tribute to them. Now I just read you 50 names. There's 100 names I didn't read you, and that's from August the 6th up until 10/24. Okay? And you want to know something? There isn't one media network that pays a tribute to any of these GIs. They only do it when it's fashionable. They only fly the flag when it's convenient. And they never play the Star Spangled Banner. Thank you, GIs, for your final sacrifice. And thank you to your parents who lost their national treasure. My family lives...